This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, so often we don't really hear your voice or know your way, your truth, though it rumbles deep within us like a wave. Like the wind, like the current of a river. You are always present, always here to guide us. May we realize who you really are in our lives, how you show up, and who we are meant to be when we surrender and follow you. Teach us now, precious one. Teach us now. Amen. Please be seated. Who do you say that I am? This question, directed not only to the disciples, but to us, is the message for today. For all of us to answer at many, many different times of our lives. I have two stories to get us going this morning, two illustrations. All of us, this week, in watching Hurricane Florence looming out in the ocean as a Cat 4, I'm sure, if you were here last year, it reminded us of what it felt like last year when we were watching Hurricane Irma looming out in the ocean as a Cat 4. And this past week, a phenomenon happened that I recalled happened last year as well. I live near the ocean, and before you think I'm all uppity in some big fancy place, it's a little tiny old Florida two-story concrete buildings. But the ocean is right there. It's amazing. So I'm within a block. I can see it from my living room. I see it from my porch. So I'm sitting there watching the sunrise Tuesday morning, and the ocean was like glass. Even though the hurricane is out there, maybe some of you have seen that this week, like glass. Not a leaf was blowing. It was still as can be. And then all of a sudden, in the pre-dawn, I heard this wave crashing onto the shore. At least I thought it was a wave. Now, from my vantage point, the shoreline is a little bit blocked by the dune, so I can't actually see the exact shoreline, but I see right above it and beyond, and it was still just flat. I thought I must be hearing things. 15 seconds later, another bam of a wave crashing onto the shore. And then I remembered. I heard this exact same thing last year when Irma was out there. And I remember talking to my sister about it, but it kind of slipped my mind in the midst of the hurricane. And yet it came back to me so strongly this past week. And it was eerie. So I called my brother, Tom. And he knows everything about the ocean, I'm telling you. He describes himself as a student of coastal and ocean processes for 40 years. He's really should have been an oceanographer. If any of you know him, he has been on television. He's been an expert on all these different panels. He's a big environmentalist. He knows the ocean, an avid surfer. So I described to him what was going on. I said, Tom, what is this that I'm hearing? I know that it was waves, but there was nothing on the surface of the ocean, nothing. And without missing a beat, he said, oh, that's a long period swell. And I thought, well, I knew that, right? A long period swell. He said that normally the Bahama chain blocks the big waves from coming over, but that there's a passage just to the north of Nassau about 4 miles wide, no, 7 miles wide and 4,000 feet deep. 4,000 feet deep. It's one of the deepest parts of the ocean. And when a big storm is lined up just right, it pushes through with such power that it gets all the way to us. It takes a couple days, he said, but it comes all the way to us. And it comes up from deep. And that's why you don't see anything up on top. It's astounding. I thought I knew the ocean, but I had to ask somebody who really knew the ocean for me to learn this. Second story. I texted one of my grandsons right after school started, and I wrote to him, and I said, "Hi, honey, how is school going?" And he wrote, "Who is this?" I said, well, we're texting, right? I said, "Grandma Wendy, please add me to your contacts, my wonderful grandson." Because we had texted before, but not that often. And then he wrote back, "Oh, okay, hi, Grandma." And I wrote, "So how was school? And please," and I abbreviated now, PLS. Both times I said, "Please, this is important to the story." I abbreviated PLS, like you do when you're texting, right? So I said, "How was school? And please don't just say fine or good. What did you like? What didn't you like? I know this is a pain. Give me this gift as a truly naggy grandma asks." And then he said, wrote, "Can I call you?" And then I said, "Well, sure." And I'm thinking, oh, great, he wants to have a real conversation. So I'm all excited. I answered the phone and he said, "Oh, so it is you." "I wasn't sure who you were because you wrote PLS for please." Now, I'm not that old, right? We all text. We all abbreviate. He's only 9 now. His brother is 13. I guess he's 10. His brother's 13. Then his brother gets on the phone. He goes, "Yeah, Grandma, we weren't sure it was you because of the PLS thing." Smart boys, though, they wanted to make sure who was texting them. Who was texting them? "Who do you say that I am?" was what Jesus asked Peter and asks all of us for our lesson today. And how we answer this question will decide everything about our lives, where we go, how we spend our time, what we think about, who we help, who we don't help, whether we honor Sabbath, how we worship, whether we honor God. You are God, and I want you to be in charge, could be an answer to that question. Who do you say that I am? I'm going to let you run my life, Lord, because you're God. I'm going to let you be God. And then if you're like me, like most of us, we take that back when we want to. But if we answer it that way, it really does define everything. This question prompts then many other questions that come behind it. Do we surrender to a power greater than ourselves? Are we ready to do so? Do we surrender to this God who overcomes even death in resurrection? Are we listening for God's direction, God's guidance? Are we taking the time? Because in order to really hear, we have to take the time to spend with God, just like we would with anybody. In prayer, in worship, in silence, in fellowship, in service, in rest, and mainly, we have to stop talking. I'm teaching myself here. We have to stop talking, and I have to know that I don't always know best, and that what I have to say is not the most important thing in that moment. And something that really is helping me, just as of this last week also, a good friend of mine told me about an acronym that I'd never heard before. She said she heard it in Al-Anon, and it's WAIT, W-A-I-T. Anybody heard this? What it stands for? W-A-I-T? Why am I talking? Isn't that great? Why am I talking? If I'm in a meeting and I'm getting nervous, it's probably good to just wait. Why am I talking? Do I have something really to say? This is a lifelong challenge for me. I don't know about you, but we sure heard James and the warning that he gave us about what our tongue can be like, how we need to bridle it, right? Or can cause major, major problems. And then in Isaiah, morning by morning, he wakens wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. To listen as those who are taught. And I know I'm talking to tell you to listen, but that's the only way I know to do it right now. This is a great quote by Richard Rohr in this little book called Breathing Underwater. And he writes, "True prayer is always about getting the who right. Who is doing the praying? You or God in you? Little you or the Christ consciousness that lives within you?" The contemplative mind prays from a different sense of who I am. It rests and abides in the great I am and draws its life from the larger vine, right? Jesus said, "I am the vine." Draws its life from the deeper well. Paul puts it this way, "You are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is revealed and he is your life, you too will be revealed in all your glory within him." It's kind of like that song we just sang. I in you, and you in me. He goes on, "It doesn't get any better than that. And you are now personally in on the deal. Basically, prayer is an exercise in divine participation. You opting in, and God always there." Don't you love that? You opting in, and God always there. Like that wave, like a current in a river, just waiting for us to tap into. Always there. But here's the real conundrum. God wants us to be tapping in, but not as an empty vessel. You know, you hear that lots of times. I just want to be an empty vessel. God doesn't want us to be an empty vessel. God wants us to learn who we are as true children of God. True children of God, our true selves. And then give life to that expression as no one else on the planet can, like you. And that's a really tricky thing. Because our identity then gets all confused. And then we're asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Again, who do you say that I am? Let me be God. Focus on me, and you'll become more of you. It's a weird thing. So now we're going to do this exercise. I'd like you to take the piece of paper out and the pencil that I gave you. I put a cup upstairs on the organ, David, for the choir, if you saw it. And I put some on the back over here for you. And acolytes, you've got one too. You can write on a prayer book. Did you guys get paper and pencil? Did you? You can run and get it if you want. Yep, there's plenty in the back if you didn't. I think the youth group needs some over here too, Carl. Yep. Thank you, Carl. So at the very top, please write, "I am." Go ahead and write that at the top. Forgot about all the kids sitting over there coming in from the side. You don't have a piece? You need one? Okay. And now under "I am," write at least 5, preferably 10 "I am" statements. So I am a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a teacher, I'm a writer, I'm a walker, I'm a reader, I'm a talker, I'm a whatever. Okay? At least 5 "I am" statements. Make sure you have "I am" written up at the top. Do you have one? Okay. Use a prayer book if you need something hard. Does everybody have one in the back there? They need some back over there too, Carl. He needs paper. Or pencil, I guess. Okay. Back in the back there. Way in the back on the right. So at least 5 "I am" statements, and preferably 10. I'll know you're ready when you look up. If you have five, please look up. At least five? Okay. All right, so now take a look at your sheet and cross off half of them. If you have 10, cross off five. If you have five, cross off at least, cross off three. If you have 10 now, cross off three more. If you only had five, just cross off one more. The first deck, was cross off three, now cross off one more. You should have one left, if you had five. Now cross off the rest of them, no matter how many you had. Cross them all off. I know, I'm getting looks of shock up here. Now what's left on your paper? I am. This is an amazing exercise that I learned when I worked with hospice. And we used it with people who were dying. And then we also then were able to use it with people just starting out in their careers. This is an exercise that whose message is to tell you that you are connected to the great I am. And all of the things that you say is your identity is encapsulated in that. So even though you were crossing them off, none of them have gone away. They're still you. But the most important part is that basic, I am, to remind us who we are when we know who the great I am is. And the more we look to Christ in answering that question, who do you say that I am? The more we get to know ourselves. It's a great gift and a great question as a lesson for our lives. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, so often we don't really hear your voice or know your way, your truth, though it rumbles deep within us, like a wave, like the wind, like the current of a river. You are always present, always here to guide us. May we realize who you really are in our lives, how you show up, and who we are meant to be when we surrender and follow you. Teach us now, precious one. Teach us now. Amen.